This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. All right, so as I continue this podcast series, mini series around the mystery shopping, secret shopping campaign that I ran as a way to check how companies really do, not how they say they do, not what they plan on doing, not what my experience is about companies and how well they may or may not do at sales and their sales operations, really wanted to dive in and find out. So far, I've covered three aspects leading up to the conversation. Now, for the next parts of this series, we're going to talk about the actual conversations that happen. Now, the first part in every sales process, every sales conversation is rapport. And everybody knows that. Everybody does it automatically at some level. Some people do it better than others. And the way that it could be done better, or the reason why I would use the word better, is as a way to get a result. Now, when building rapport, there's a way to do it better and be effective where your goal is to build that relationship. It starts with the rapport. Somebody has to know you, then somebody has to like you. Like Bob Berg says, people will do business with people that they know, like, and trust. When all things are equal, people are looking for someone that they know, like, then trust. First, they have to get to know you, then they have to like you, and then they have to trust you, which we're going to go through all those phases. The first part is rapport. And that part is a special skill that can be done in a certain way, or it can be done wrong. When it's done wrong, what happens is people just jump straight into business, right? There's essentially no bedside manner, if you think about it, as if you went to see a doctor, jumping straight into business, or if you call any kind of professional, or if you've ever been to the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, for any reason, they don't build rapport. They just go straight into the process. They've got a long line of people, a never-ending line, and they don't care about you and your feelings and building a friendship with you. They just want to get you taken care of, and then they want to move on. Nothing necessarily wrong with that, but it's tough to do something where it's a consultative sale, where there's some kind of, you know, considered purchase involved, where you want to build some rapport. So here's what we found when the rapport step is that generally people did well with rapport. Out of the 100 companies that we dealt with, which only a fraction ended up in phone calls because most of the companies either didn't call us enough times or didn't answer when we called back. Out of the people that we talked to, most of them scored a 5 out of 5 on our scale of, were they professional? That's the first part. If they weren't professional, and here's the big keys, I want you to take away from this, not just stats, but when we felt like people weren't being professional, they didn't provide any intro. It felt like calling a personal line. They didn't provide their name. A couple of times they didn't even try to find our info and made us repeat it, right? So we had submitted information, should be in their system, and instead of looking anything up, made us just go through everything again, which is painful. It's not a way to build rapport, making someone repeat everything. And what do you do about that? Well, the biggest thing is just remember that what somebody is looking for is they're looking for a professional, they're looking for guidance, and they're looking for someone they can trust, but they have to know and like you first. So make sure that first moment they know who you are, they know what the company is, and they have a good sense of you and what you're doing. Remember, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So the biggest thing you can do is start off well, start off professional. Remember, this is one of the biggest things. You do this all day. And if you're a manager or a leader, your people do this all day. At some point, you kind of get disconnected, separate, desensitized to the fact that that person you're talking to doesn't do this all day. This might be the first time they're talking to someone about insurance or a home loan or, and a warranty or getting solar panels. Like, it's all over the place. This might be their first time. They're nervous. They're worried. They're not sure how this process works. They're not sure what they're getting into. And they're nervous about what might happen, right? They're anxious about an unknown future and the change that's going to happen. And so if you don't answer it professional and handle it that way, that's going to make them feel a little more concerned. the biggest key is, remember, they don't do this all day. You do. So you have to remember, you have to treat each phone call like it's the very first call, like it matters the most to that person, because it does. All right. So the next thing that we looked at was, how well did they do on actually building a rapport? Once we get past the professional greeting, then we get into the rapport building phase. How did they do? Well, some scored 5, there were some 4s, there were some 3s, and there were some 2s. And on our subjective scale, which is, you know, kind of subjective, because the big thing with rapport is I know my standards. I know what I like as a consumer, but I also know what I like as a trainer, as in a manager, and what I want my reps to do, right? I can separate myself from the process, which not everybody can do. But the thing is that I also don't know, and my team didn't know, what the standards of a company are. Maybe the standards of a company are less rapport or no rapport, or just jump into it, or who cares about people? Like, I don't know. So I'm judging companies and putting this feedback together based on my expectations and standards and what I would do with building a team or helping a company through my advising versus actually knowing what their training, what their standard, what their expectations, and so on. And so for this, for the companies and the reps that didn't do great at building rapport, again, it's in the same category. They're jumping straight into the pitch, not much time spent, like it felt rushed, and just a general need to improve on building rapport. Now, a lot of times, when in this kind of a process where we fill out a form and then somebody called us, we called them back, maybe it's going to a call center of lead generation reps, right? That aren't necessarily the salespeople, and they're under the clock and they have this expectation of volume of calls and they have this requirement of a length of call and how quickly they have to handle things. And that might be good from a business perspective, but always remember what that's like from the customer perspective. What is the sales experience that gives your consumers, your customers, when they call in? Again, remember, they don't do this for a living. So they have an expectation of what they want and how they want to be dealt with. And then there's your process. So if you're doing this where it's just like one after another, and you just do these calls and you just jump right into it, like, how can I help you? Do you have this? Do you qualify for this? Let me get you to this person. Like, depending on what your process is, remember the experience that you have from the outside. Again, the biggest thing is to really see what it's like as a customer. I implore everybody, especially in a leadership role, to go through your process as a customer and see what that's like. Did they give you a good experience? Would you want to sign up or move forward if you were a customer? I'm going to guess not. If you went through the experiences that we had, many of these, be like, absolutely not. I'm going to hang up and I'm going to call a different company until I find one who gives me what I want as far as an experience goes. Now, the last part of rapport that I want to cover is setting expectations. And here's the big thing: is we're build rapport, we build a relationship, right? We're starting that off. Know, like, and trust. Remember that? Part of it is people are worried about the unknown. And so part of the rapport, as you transition into the next phase of the conversation, is that you want to set the expectation of what's happening next. Remember, humans are afraid. We're in our comfort zone. We don't like change. We don't like the unknown. They don't know what the process is. You do. Make sure you inform them. All right, next part of the process. So I'm going to do this. I want to ask you some questions. I want to do this. And then here's what will happen from there, right? You don't have to give them the laundry list, which is what I call it. You just have to give them enough so they know here's what's coming next. And then here's what we're going to do. So always make sure that's the transition out of rapport. Question: the thing to ask yourself after listening to this and going through this, how did you do? How do you do at building rapport? If you were to listen to you from the outside, how are you doing on building rapport? If you're a manager or a leader, how is your team doing on building rapport? How are they being effective? What standards do you have? What training do you have in place? What requirements, what guidance? How can you guide people on building rapport, which is an individual thing, right? Rapport is based on me as a salesperson and based on you as a customer. It's going to be a different dynamic for rapport than maybe even the next phone call I have. And so how do you do that? How do you lead people so they can effectively handle that first step with the rapport of the know, like, and trust formula, right? To get people to want to move forward, to trust me enough, to get towards trusting me enough to helping you, right? Like, first, we got to take this first step. And so we've got to do it in the right way. So what are you doing to ensure that your team is building rapport in the right way that's effective at moving people forward?